Amen. Let's get our Bibles and let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. The book of Joshua here in the Old Testament. Joshua, chapter 2, and verse 1. We're going to have a good week this week. Sunday evening service tonight at 6:30, prayer at 6. And we are having special revival services Wednesday and Thursday night this week. We have announced 2 weeks of revival services. Unfortunately, our evangelist was just has just been asked to take a church in Wisconsin. And so he's not going to be evangelizing anymore. He's going to be pastoring. And so they're going to be able to come Wednesday and Thursday, but we'll just have to, cram 2 weeks of revival services into 2 nights. All right? So get ready and get your shouting shoes on, and let's have a good time Wednesday night and Thursday night. Amen. With the Pearsons. Praise God. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And then if you'll go with me down to verse 9, here is Rahab speaking, and she says unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Praise God. And what we are reading here this morning in Joshua chapter 2 is the story of the beginning of the conquest of the land of promise that God promised the children of Israel. Jericho was the very first city that they encountered in this conquest. And the city was marked for destruction. There was evil. There was wickedness. There were all kinds of things going on in Jericho. And the Lord said, this is your city. I'm going to give it to you. And it was marked for utter destruction. The Lord said, do not let anyone escape alive. And, of course, that represents sin. We cannot let anything survive. We've got to get it all behind us so we can enter into the promised land. And we're going to destroy the city. I saw when I was in the city of Jericho a number of years ago, I saw some of the ruins of the walls of Jericho. And they said the walls of that city were big enough that 2 chariots could pass each other on the top of the wall. It was a fortress. It was a strong place, but it was marked for destruction, total destruction, and that's exactly what happened to it. But out of that destruction, there was one lady and her family, and her name was Rahab. Rahab was saved. Her family was saved that believed her. And they went on to become great people, actually, wonderful people in the history of the nation of Israel. I want to preach just a little bit this morning, snatched from the jaws of destruction, snatched from the jaws of destruction. Amen. Let's pray together and let's ask for God's help this morning. Lord, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for your presence. We ask you to anoint the word of God. We ask you to speak to us, speak to each and every one of us here this morning, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. You know, whether we realize it or not, the judgment of God is coming upon this old world. As we look, as those of us of faith, we look at the conditions of our world and what is taking place in our world. On every hand, the forces of darkness seem to be growing stronger and stronger. We are living our lives as though there is no tomorrow, and just plowing ahead as though everything is going to continue as it always has continued. But as we look at the scriptures this morning, we're going to see that there is a judgment that is coming upon our world. There are many places in history that we could go back to where destruction was imminent, where it was ready to be destroyed, places where people were living out their lives, living out their daily lives, unaware of total destruction that was knocking at their door. I think of a place in Italy, in the area of Italy, named Pompeo, and it was a city where people were living out their lives as though there was no tomorrow. Little did they know that there was, they knew that there was a volcano. It was called, and is still called to this day, Mount Vesuvius. And it was ready to erupt. It was ready to explode. And they were living out their lives. They were eating at the table. They were sitting on their chair. They were walking down the street, just living out their lives, not really knowing what was about to happen, that this volcano was at the point of total eruption, and that there was going to be a total destruction of their city in a matter of mere moments. And it did happen that way. In fact, without a moment's notice, this Mount Vesuvius exploded, and it sent hot ash traveling very, very quickly all the way through the city. And in reality, and you can go and see it today, there are people that are actually frozen in time. Some of them are frozen sitting at the table. The hot ash invaded their home, invaded their city, and literally covered them like molasses and sealed them, and they became stone statues frozen in time. They did not know that there was a destruction that was coming. They were not prepared, and it overtook them very quickly. You know, many people were instantly covered, and there they are today as a testimony of judgment that can come very quickly. We look at the story of the tsunami in Japan. No one knew what was about to happen, and we don't hear a lot about it anymore, but it is really a catastrophe. There are three nuclear power plants, the Fukushima power plants, three of them that were struck by this tsunami, and they were irreparably destroyed, and literally it's a nightmare of nuclear energy. They have melted down, and there is no way for them to stop the meltdown. It is continuing to burn in the ground, and they are saying every day since that thing was destroyed, that they are dumping tons and tons and tons of nuclear waste, nuclear heavy water into the ocean. And they said it's going to take 30 or 40 years to clean up that mess that took place. They didn't realize when they built that power plant on the edge of the sea that there were stones on the hillside. I've used this before, but every so often there are stones along the hillside, all of them at a particular height. And they were carved some 200 years ago. And there was and is a message on those stones. And it says, do not build below this line because of the great earthquakes and the tsunamis that followed. Everyone was living out their lives. They were going, doing the things that they wanted to do. They were having fun, and they were living out their lives, going to work and building their futures. But all of a sudden, there was an earthquake, and they said that one of the tectonic plates that's in that area dropped 200 feet immediately, and the seafloor dropped 200 feet, creating a gigantic wave that began to come, and folks were looking at it. They were watching it. They didn't realize what it was, but all of a sudden the ocean water began to recede, and it went out, and it exposed parts of the sea. People were going out and looking to see what they could find on the now newly formed beaches because of the receding water, not really realizing that there was another wave that was going to come. It was like a water going out and then water coming back in. And they said that there were some 10,000 people that perished in that, and it destroyed those nuclear power plants, and we are going to deal with that probably for some of us for the rest of our lives. Amen. They did not realize that there was destruction that was about to take place, and they were not prepared, and they did not listen to the elders that had carved the stones and knew they had seen it before, and they knew that it was a great possibility. Amen. What we need today is to be ready for anything that would come our way spiritually. Amen. I'm not preaching about going and getting a bunker in the ground. I'm not preaching about getting supplies of food for years and ammunition and all of those things. Our hope is not in this life. Amen. Our hope is not in this world, but our hope is in the world to come. And we read here in the scriptures that the Lord commanded Joshua to go and to take the city of Jericho. And, you know, sometimes the message of God seems completely ridiculous. To humanity, it just seems way out there. And when you talk about the coming of the Lord and the rapture that's going to take place and how people are going to be caught up in the air to be with the Lord, they look at you and they say, just like they did in Noah's day, why, that's never happened before. And that's a fairy tale. It's a myth. It's something that's not going to come to pass. But hear me this morning. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. And it did come to pass in Noah's day. And the Lord had marked Jericho for destruction. Amen. It was a very prosperous city, and yet it was filled with sin, and there was iniquity in the city of Jericho. And God knew that they could not cohabitate with sin and live for Him and be blessed by Him. And so they had to go in and they had to conquer the land. They had to conquer the promised land, which again represents the inhabitants represented sin for you and I today. We have to go in and we have to conquer. And the Bible says in one place that you and I, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God is into conquering things. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has never lost a battle, praise God. And whatever God decides to do, it happens. Amen. We are more than conquerors. And what does that mean? Does that mean that we go about with a sword and a cross, and we conquer nations, and we defeat people, and we bring them under our subjection? That's not what it was about, and that's not the message of the New Testament. Praise God. It's not the message of the New Testament. But we are more than conquerors because we don't conquer other people. We don't get saved and then conquer other people. No, we conquer ourselves. Amen. We conquer our attitudes. We conquer our spirit. We allow the Spirit of God to bring us to a place where he can change us and make us and mold us into his image. And that means that some things have got to be utterly destroyed. We were in Bible study yesterday, and we used the scripture in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. Amen. The thing that will destroy our lives is sin. The things that will destroy our life are the things that are not pleasing to God. And so we have to come face to face with this high wall. Amen. We've got to come face to face with this mighty fortress. And there are mighty fortresses in our lives. Whether you admit it or not this morning, there are mighty fortresses. Amen. There are mighty things that go back generational. Amen. They go back to mama and daddy. They go back to grandma and grandpa. They go way back. And the Bible says that even Satan gets involved, and it is called a familiar spirit, where it is familiar with a family, or it is familiar with a group, and it goes from generation to generation. Well, praise God. And so we must have the power to conquer. And the only power that I know of to conquer myself is the power of God. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, you shall receive power after that you receive the Holy Ghost. And that's what I want. But here Jericho was sitting there, and they had heard the stories, and they saw the children of Israel cross over the Jordan River. And when they crossed over the Jordan River, the Bible says that the river, the waters parted in the river, and they came over on dry ground. There was another born-again experience that they had, very similar to Egypt with that mama and daddy had experienced, but now it was for the next generation. Amen. Now it was for these people, and the waters parted and they came over. And so Jericho, seeing these things about to take place, and the Bible says their hearts had melted, and they knew that they were going to be destroyed, and so they locked up the city, they barred the gates, no man went in, no man came out, and they waited to see what was about to happen. Joshua, being the commander, and we read in the book of Joshua, it's about Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' minister. He was the assistant to Moses. Moses was not allowed to come into the promised land, but Joshua became the leader and led them into the promised land. And so the Lord spoke to Joshua, and Joshua sent two spies. He sent them into the city of Jericho to spy it out, and to find out how the people felt about things and what they were up against, how large the city was, all of the things that you need to know before you go into a battle. And so the spies went into the city of Jericho, and they found a spot where people come and go a lot. And it was a woman's house. It was a lady by the name of Rahab. And Rahab was a woman that did not have a lot of good reputation. The Bible says that she was a harlot. In our modern language today, we would say she is a prostitute. And they went to the house of this woman. Now, the Bible doesn't give us details, but you don't have to go very far to see the details of this story, of the life of a harlot, the life of someone who really does not feel too highly about herself, someone that, you know, has been abused, someone who has been taken advantage of, someone who is just feels like a dirty dish rag. Every time a man comes and every time he goes. I cannot imagine that kind of a life, but there are many today that have slipped into that kind of an existence to just make a living, so to speak, if you can call it that. And this woman, Rahab, she knew a lot of people, it looked like to someone that was just looking on that Rahab would be the last person that God would look at. She would be the last person that the Lord would say, I've got my eye on you. I want to save you. I want to do something through you. I want to do something great in your life. I want to take you out of where you are, and I want to bring you into the family of the people of God. You wouldn't think that that's the way it would be. Most of us think that in order for God to accept us, we have to have a halo on our head. Well, we know this morning that none of us have halos on our heads. All right, thank you for agreeing with me this morning. Praise God. Some folks got the idea that if you're going to follow the Lord, you've got to be a perfect example of what it means to be a Christian. Well, we're striving for that, aren't we? We want to be like Jesus, but we know that we fail and we fall short in many, 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 many cases. And so if we were to, when they have a high school graduation, they've got the high school king and queen, and the ones that are most likely to succeed. I remember in high school, one of the young men that was chosen to most likely succeed, he was the very one that died of an overdose of drugs. And so what you see on the outside is not necessarily what's going on the inside. Amen. And what is going on the outside may not look good, but what is in the heart and the desire of the heart is what God looks at. Now, the Lord wanted to deliver her out of that lifestyle. He was not pleased with that lifestyle, and she would have been destroyed in the destruction of the city, but God looked at her. And so word got out. There's two spies in the city, and we need to find them. And somebody said, try Rahab's house first. And lo and behold, there they were. But Rahab heard them coming, and she took them up on the top of her house and hid them in the stacks of flax that was upon the roof of her house. And they came and they said, there's two men here. Have you seen two men? And she said, they were here, but they've gone. And if you quickly go out of the gate and search for them, you'll find them. Hurry. And so they left, and they left the gate of the city. And obviously they were so afraid that after they left the gates of the city, the Bible says they shut the gates of the city. And they went out searching for the two men. And Rahab told them, said, go and hide yourself in the mountain for 3 days until these others have come back, and then you can go and report to your leader. Amen. And that's exactly what they did. But before they left, they said, Rahab said, and I read it to you this morning in the scripture, that she said, we know that you're going to take over this land. We know that your God is God in heaven. We know that your God is God upon the earth because we've heard the stories. Oh God, I thank God for the stories this morning. I thank God for the stories of Sister Ball that when she came to the house of God and she was stricken with cancer, and she had a tumor on her side that enlarged her waist 12 inches. And when she came to the house of God, my good pastor who's gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Stanford, laid hands on this lady and prayed for her. And she had to immediately grab her skirt because 12 inches left her waistline. That's a pretty good weight loss program. That's a pretty good weight loss program. And God is a healing God. Our God made heaven and earth. Our God made you and I, and He's able to do whatever He wants to do. Sister Ball's daddy was a welder, and he had lung cancer because of the years of welding. And he was scheduled for surgery the very next day. I believe it was a Sunday. And he was prayed for, and they took an x-ray just before the surgery. They're going to remove his lung. And the doctor said, something has taken place. There is no cancer in your lungs. We're not going to have to do surgery. Praise God. Our God is God in heaven and on the earth. Amen. We're not preaching about theory here this morning. We're preaching about things that we have actually seen. Amen. I was able to pray for a Baptist minister that never preached divine healing in 50 years of ministry. And he had come down with a brain tumor, and he had seizures, memory loss, all of the things that go along with a brain tumor. And we were privileged to lay hands on him and pray for him. And he went back to the doctor, and they did tests, and they said, here is the picture of the tumor, and here is the picture where it's gone. Praise God. And the doctor that was treating him got all of the newspaper articles, because the newspaper got a hold of the story, and he bought as many newspapers as he could, and he posted the article in all of the hospitals and offices where he worked. Amen. Our God is the true God. Our God can do anything. And I don't care what you're facing here this morning, in the sense that it is not enough to overthrow you if you've got God on your side. If you've got God on your side, you've got everything you need. Praise God. Praise God. And so she said, I know that your God is Lord, and I don't want to be destroyed. I want to be like you. I want to be a part of your people. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of going down this road every day and every night, not knowing what's going to take place, not knowing who's going to walk through the door and how they will treat me, and so on and so forth. And so they made a covenant with her. And they said, if you will hang out of the window. She lived on the wall of the city of Jericho. So she had an elevated place up above. And they said, if you will hang out the window of your house a scarlet thread or a scarlet rope, a red rope out of the window of your house, and if your family will come and get in the house with you, any friends that want to come, anybody that wants to join with you and be saved from the destruction, then hang that cord out the window. Get them in the house. Don't let them out of the house, because if they're out of the house, they're going to be destroyed. Amen. And so by faith, in fact, the scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Everybody said, by faith. By faith. Amen. By faith she perished not. And I mentioned earlier that God's ways are kind of foolish to us. And so the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, it's time. Get all the men together, and I want you to march around the city one time. I'm not going to go through it here this morning. It's Sunday morning. Maybe I need to get some folks waked up here. And they marched, if you guys are Jericho, amen. And they marched around the city one time, all the soldiers, the priests, the Ark of the Covenant, and they marched around the city one time and went back to their tents and spent the night with their families. And the people of Jericho looked over the wall. You know, they were probably peeking over the wall, thinking maybe they're going to shoot arrows at us or something. And they were lined up on the wall, just kind of peek holes. You know, I've been to Jerusalem, and the old wall of Jerusalem still has the little slits in the wall. They're about that long and about that wide, and the bricks, or the stone rather, is cut at an angle into those grooves, and that way archers could look down and they could shoot out, but the wall would be a protection for them. I could see little eyes looking through the slits in the walls, and they're talking to each other, and they see them going around one time, and then they go home. And then the very next day, the same time, they see them all assembled together, and they thought, today must be the day. We're going to have to fight today. And so they marched around the city the second day. They did that the third day. They did that the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And I've got a feeling by the end of the sixth day, they weren't peeking out the hole anymore. They were probably standing on the wall just with their arms crossed, shaking their heads, thinking, what in the world is going on? But God had a plan. And God has a plan today. Praise the Lord. And I imagine they probably were hollering at him, hey, how's it going? Day number six. Is that all you're going to do to fight us? You're not going to defeat us. Our walls are too high. They're too thick. We're stronger than you. And but on day seven, the Lord said, and that is the day of completion, the day of perfection in God's system of numbers. Amen. He said, I want you to march around seven times. Some of you know this story by heart. You could probably tell it better than me. Amen. Seven times they went around the city of Jericho. And on the seventh time, when they got around on the seventh time, the command from the Lord was, blow the trumpet and shout with a loud shout. Are you sure, God? We're not going to have to use any weapons or anything. Nope. All you've got to do is shout with a loud shout and blow the trumpet. Praise God. You know where victory comes? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What we need to hear is the sound of the gospel. Amen. What we need to hear is the trumpet of truth, those silver trumpets, amen, that blow the message of salvation. Judgment is coming, and you need to be snatched from the jaws of destruction. Amen. Amen. And then when it happens, there is a shout. Praise God. Doesn't look like it here this morning, but there's a shout. Amen. We may do some shouting here tonight, but there's a shout when salvation comes. There's a shout when victory comes. When all of those old ways of life, I'm sure that probably Rahab and her family was in the house shouting as well. Because when they shouted with a loud shout, all of a sudden the earth began to tremble. It began to shake, and bricks and stones began to fall off of the walls. And those that were on the tops of the walls began to run for their lives. And the Bible says that the wall of the city fell down flat, and they ran over the rubble and they took the city. Amen. But there was one place on the wall, just one place on the wall, where it did not crumble, and there was a window, and there was a scarlet thread hanging out of that window. Praise God. And Rahab and her family were saved from the jaws of destruction. Jesus, before I go any further, that scarlet thread represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Rahab joined the Israelis. Rahab's family, her brothers and sisters, mother and dad, all of her family joined up. They proselyted, or they converted, rather, and they became Jews. They gave their life to Jehovah God. They got rid of all of their gods, and they said, these are not gods. Our God is the God of the people of God, Israel. He's the God that parted the Red Sea. He's the God that parted the Jordan River. He's the God that destroyed this city, and we are going to serve Him. It's just like Abraham. When God called him, He said, come out of your country. Come out from your family and your people, your business relationships, so on and so forth, and come to a land that I will show you, and I will make a great nation out of you. Well, do you know that Rahab became a great nation? Did you know that through the lineage of Rahab, there was something great that took place? It was. Amen. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. It is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Amen. The son of David, the son of Abraham. And so he goes back in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what an honor it would be to have your name named there. Amen. that in the lineage, in my lineage, Jesus Christ came. And if you're going to pick the lineage of those people that are going to be of Jesus Christ, again, you would think you would need people with halos on their heads. You would need people that were of reputation, good reputation. But let's read here for just a minute, and I won't take a lot of time with this, but it says, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Phares. That's not the Judas that betrayed Jesus, by the way. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse, of course, was the father of King David, and it was of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Amen. Here was a lady that didn't think a lot of herself. Here was a lady that did not have a good reputation. Here was a person, amen, that did not feel good about herself and had lots of issues and difficulties. But I'm telling you what today, God is not looking at the outward. God is looking at your heart. God is drawn to a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the outside changed. She began to dress like a Jew. She began to follow the laws of the Jews. But I'm telling you what, God was not interested in that first. God was interested in her giving her life to Him and admitting, your God is the God of heaven and of earth, and I want to serve Him. Literally, because of that decision of faith, amen, as it says in Hebrews, by faith, amen, that decision of faith and trust and turning her life, turning her back on her old life, she was literally snatched out of the jaws of destruction. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, today we're not ignorant of God's plan, for we've got it right here in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. If you'll read with me here this morning. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So in the last days, everybody said the last days. Mm-hmm. That's where we are today. I believe we're in the last days. He said they are scoffers and they will say, where's the promise of His coming? We've heard the story. We've heard the messages and still nothing has happened. But I'm telling you, we need to go back to the stones on the side of the mountain of the elder, amen, that carved in that stone that knew what he was talking about and said, don't go any further than this because there will be destruction, amen. And the Bible says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Do you realize that the Scripture is telling us this morning that this world is marked for judgment? This world is marked for destruction. Amen. And the Bible goes on and it tells us in other places that the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. All the works of the earth shall be burned up. The Bible talks about a great earthquake that will hit the earth, in which every city and every building on the earth will be destroyed. Amen. And here we are this morning, and we sit, and my, y'all are looking so nice here this morning. Thank God for our beautiful church. Thank God for a beautiful congregation. Thank God for people that love the Lord. I'm telling you, you've thrown your hat in with God. Amen. And the destruction may come, and it will come at a time when nobody's expecting it, but those who have made their lot with Jesus are going to get out of this old world. That's what I want to do. Many are the signs of His coming. Many are the judgment, the signs of the judgment that is going to follow, and those are going to say it can't happen, it's not going to happen. But I believe that we right now, this morning, we are the generation that is facing the end times. Amen. We are seeing the mark of the beast, which is 666. I'm not going to get into prophecy here this morning, but the Bible says that every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth will have to have a mark on their hand or their forehead, or they will not be able to buy or sell or any of those sorts of things. I just read an article the other day that there are thousands of people already in America that are lining up to get a chip in their hand, and they show them putting the chip in their hand. It's about the size of a grain of rice, and it has every bit of information about your life, about your medical history, and they're going to have it set up so if you have a medical emergency, they can scan your hand. If you walk into an emergency room, the computer screen will light up and they will have all of your information right there in front of them. And one company has already injected their employees with the chips, and all they have to do is go over to the snack bar and swipe their hand, and the snack that they desire comes out. Sounds really great and convenient, but the Bible says it's coming upon the earth. Amen. Many are running to this, but it is a mark of the beast or Satan himself. Amen. Earthquakes, famines, the Bible says, and Bible prophecy being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Let me read one account to you in Matthew 24. Turn with me to Matthew 24 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Here Jesus is sitting upon the Mount of Olives. And I'm going to finish here. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Here are the signs. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or different places. All these are the beginning." Everybody said the beginning. The beginning of sorrows. Since they came up with the seismograph, which measures the shaking of the earth, earthquakes, The recorded number of earthquakes from the time they begin to record them until this day, if you put it in a graph, it goes just like this. The number and the intensity of earthquakes is increasing in our world. Somebody said, well, it's just a natural phenomenon. It's the earth. It's the movement of the planets. It's this, that, and the other. But Jesus said, in the last days, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Two of the world wars that have, the only two world wars that have ever been fought on this earth have been fought within the last 100 years. Millions upon millions of people have perished, amen, in famines. As a younger man, I remember the famines of Ethiopia, where literally millions of people starved to death. And there are places today where it is building up to that again. Earthquakes, pestilences, wars, rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. The advent of nuclear missiles, in which 30 minutes time from the launching of a nuclear missile, it could explode upon our homeland or explode upon another country. China having 300 nuclear missiles. Russia having 6,000 nuclear missiles. America having 6,000 nuclear missiles. And now crazy people like the man in North Korea has 30 or 40, they say, that he could detonate. I'm telling you, we are living, the people that look at the doomsday clock, they said we're just a few minutes before midnight. I'm not saying that you need to go quit your job. I'm not saying that you need to throw in the towel. I'm not one of those people. But I'm telling you today, you've got to get right with God. Did you hear that this morning? You've got to get right with God, because there is destruction coming. And if it doesn't come in our lifetime, the day will come when you and I will take our last breath. And we will go back to the one that created us. And we will be marked for salvation, or we will be marked for judgment and destruction. The only thing about the destruction part and being with the Lord, the salvation part, is that both of them are eternal. 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 I try to describe eternity because it's hard to say what it is. It's hard for us to understand that eternity is something that does not have time. It does not mark time. But I use this analogy: if the earth was a gigantic stainless steel ball, that's a pretty good sized stainless steel ball, and once a year a sparrow comes, or excuse me, once every 1,000 years a sparrow comes and he brushes his wing across the face of that stainless steel ball and then flies away. And 1,000 years he brushes his wing again. Another 1,000 years he brushes his wing. When the steel ball, the size of our earth, is worn away and it's not anymore, eternity has just begun. Think about that. I want to spend my eternity with Jesus Christ. I want to spend my eternity with God in heaven, where the Bible says there are streets of gold and gates of pearl. No light switches to turn off, turn on. We're going to spend eternity worshiping God, loving God. Amen. I used to say when I was a sinner boy, I was such a foolish young man. I said, oh, who wants to go to heaven? That's where they're just sitting around on clouds playing harps all the time. I want to go down to hell where the party's taking place. What a fool I was. What a fool I was. I'm so thankful today that God sent someone my way to spy out the land and say, you've got an opportunity to be snatched from the jaws of judgment. And I'm so thankful that there was something in my heart, something called faith, that said, I believe the message. I believe God. and God became real in my life. He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I'm so thankful for that today, because I've discovered that God is a real God. God is a real God. Amen. I was just beginning my ministry, and I learned something about the Lord. You have to take Him at His word. And you can't look at circumstances and situations. You have to take Him at His word and step out right then. Because if Rahab wouldn't have stepped out right then, she would not have made it. And I remember 11 o'clock at night when we were ministering in the city of Boston, Massachusetts. And there's some tough areas of Boston. And the project areas are very tough. Crime, drugs, murder, all kinds of things going on all the time, especially late at night. And 11 o'clock at night, one of the young men in the church, his girlfriend called and said, Jimmy is having a high. Someone slipped LSD into his coffee while he was teaching him a Bible study. And Jimmy's shaking uncontrollably. We don't know what to do. Can you come and pray? That's all we know to do is to pray. And I got up out of bed and I got in the car. It was about a half an hour, 45-minute drive. It wasn't that far, but in Boston, you got all these places you got to turn, and it's not that easy to manipulate yourself around. And I finally got to the project where Jimmy and his mother lived. They lived on the third floor. And I got in the old elevator, and it was shaking and rattling. There were people that had German Shepherd dogs in there. And the last thing I wanted was to open the door and somebody mug me or rob me. It was really that bad. And the door opened. I went over to the apartment, knocked on the door, and there was Jimmy laying on his bed. He was shaking uncontrollably. His eyes were dilated. It was red ring all around his eyes. And the Lord gave me a scripture on the way to pray for him, and it's in Mark 16:16. He said, and you shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt you. Praise God. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall speak with other tongues, other signs that the Lord spoke about there. And I said, Jimmy, this is not of God. You didn't do this to yourself, and God's going to deliver you. I had never prayed for anyone, and it was the first miracle I ever saw in my ministry. But I stepped out by faith, and I didn't know if it was going to work. I didn't know if God was going to honor my faith, but I said, God's going to heal you right now. And we began to pray, and I began to speak in other tongues. He began to speak with other tongues. And in 60 seconds, I had my hand on his head. I felt the fever leave his body. I looked at his face. The red was not around his eyes anymore. His eyes were not dilated. He was not shaking uncontrollably. He sat up on the side of the bed, and he said, when you started praying, I heard a voice from the Lord. And he said, everything's going to be all right. And God delivered that young man. 11, almost midnight. Amen. And here we are today. We're at midnight. Amen. We're at the midnight hour. And the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming. And He wants somebody to just say, Lord, I'm going to cast my lot with the people of God. I'm going to come into the kingdom of God and be born again of the water and of the Spirit, because I don't want to be destroyed in the destruction. Can we stand together tonight, or this morning rather? Bless the Lord. Can we just pray together right now, all of us? Can we just talk to God for a moment here? It's not high shouting and loud, but I feel the presence of God in this place this morning. Lord Jesus, we need you this morning. We need you right now, Lord. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, to commit ourselves. Help us this morning, Lord, to dedicate and consecrate our lives to you. For you gave us our life. Help us to give it back to you, Lord, that you could use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and sing.